Chapter 41. The headquarters of the general officer commanding the eastern sector were tastefully situated in the offices of a brewery company in Plain Street. Major Peterson was waiting for Gary when he arrived. "I sent for you 2 hours ago, sir. I was indisposed," Gary told him. "Old H is not in a very good mood today. We'd better not keep him waiting any longer. Come along." Down the passage, where orderlies bustled, Peterson led him, and to a door at the far end. He knocked once and then opened it. Aitchison looked up from his paperwork. "Colonel Courtney is here, sir." "Thank you, Peterson. Come in, Courtney." Peterson closed the door and left Gary standing alone on the thick Persian rug in front of Aitchison's desk. "I sent for you 2 hours ago, Courtney." Aitchison used the same reprimand, and Gary shifted his leg uncomfortably. "I wasn't too well this morning, sir. Had to get the doctor in." Aitchison fingered his white moustache as he examined the dark circles beneath Gary's eyes and the chalky colour of his face. "Sit down," he ordered. Aitchison was silent, watching him. But Gary avoided his eyes. He felt brittle from the previous night's drinking, his skin dry and sensitive, and he fidgeted in the chair, clasping and unclasping the hand that lay in his lap. "I want one of your men," Aitchison spoke at last.
Of course, sir," Gary nodded.
"That sergeant, Courtney. I want to give him an independent command."
Gary sat very still.
"You know who I mean," Aitchison persisted.
"Yes, sir." "You should," Aitchison murmured dryly. "I have personally recommended him to you on 2 occasions for recognition."
He flicked through the sheaf of papers in front of him.
"Yes, sir."
Gary's right hand was opening and closing again. "I notice you took no action on either of my recommendations."
"No, sir."
"May I ask why?" I didn't think the occasions merited further action." "You thought my judgment was an error?" Aitchison asked politely.
"Oh, no, sir. Of course not, sir," Gary answered quickly.
"Well, then?"
Aitchison's eyes were pale blue, but cold.
"I spoke to the man, congratulated him. After Colenso, I gave him leave." "Very decent of you, in view of the wounds he received there. I didn't want to... You see, he's my brother. It was difficult. Favouritism. I couldn't really do much."
Gary wriggled sideways in his chair. His hands came up, pawing the air, as though to pluck words from it.
"Your brother?" Aitchison demanded. "Yes, my brother. I know him. I know him. You don't. You can't have any idea."
Gary could feel the pattern of his thoughts disintegrating. His voice sounded shrill in his own ear. He had to explain. He had to tell Aitchison.
"My leg," he shrilled. "My leg. You see it. Look at it. He did that. He took my leg. You don't know him. He's evil. He's evil, evil. I tell you, he's evil."
Aitchison's expression had not changed, but his eyes were colder, more watchful. Gary had to reach him and make him understand.
"Anna," Gary's lips were wet and blubbery, my wife, Anna, he did that to her. Everything he touches, you can't know how he is. I know. He's evil. I tried, I hoped at Colenso, but you can't destroy him. He is the destroyer. Colonel Courtney."
Aitchison's voice cut into his tirade, and Gary jerked at the crack of it. He covered his lips with his fingers, and slowly he subsided into the chair.
I just... want to explain. You don't understand."
"I think I do." Aitchison clipped his words short and harsh. "I am granting you indefinite leave on grounds of ill health."
You can't do that. I won't resign my commission."
"I have not asked you to," Aitchison snapped. "I will send the papers to your hotel this afternoon. You can take tomorrow's train south."
But, sir..."
"That'll be all, Courtney. Thank you." Aitchison turned his attention once more to his papers.